Podcast. We made a podcast.
Welcome back. It is Monday once again, and you know what that means. Two fanboys and a filthy casual is back. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
Is it our back or is back?
Harold.
Well, two fanboys.
I'm back.
But the fanboy itself, the casual is singular.
Okay, say.
Okay, so we are back. Thank you.
After that English lesson, thank you.
Nerd.
So speaking of English lessons, what we've decided to do...
What a beautiful transition.
Thank you. Like
wonderful that. Segue.
I thought so. Focus. So. With the nostalgia...
You said focus.
See what I did there?
This is going to come back.
I know, don't worry. You'll figure it out.
Listeners.
So, with the resurgence of a particular franchise that we are all a fan of, we decided to do this very special episode. And of course, this franchise is The Karate Kid. If you guys don't know, Karate Kid decided, and we kind of mentioned this in our last YouTube video.
Oh, we have a YouTube channel?
I'm sorry, that's my other... That's my other podcast.
I'm the only one without other friends.
I'm sorry. So the last time we talked about it in our podcast is that we do have a new series that's coming up from YouTube Red.
Yes.
Not to be mistaken by the other website.
RedTube U.
Wait. Is that just
is
for
that dot you?
No, I think it's EDU.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, as long as it's educational,
yes.
We're okay with it. So, so YouTube Red came up with the new...
Sorry.
I'm not going to repeat it again. It happened once. So, it came out with the new movie, or new series, I guess,
right.
Cobra Kai. We decided to go watch it. We decided, you know what, before we talk about Cobra Kai, we kind of needed a refresher course on one of what we believe is one of the best 80s franchises there is.
Right, yeah.
So what we decided to do was explore every single movie, whether it's from the original one, whether Karate Kid 2 and 3, the next Karate Kid, the Karate Kid.
The remake. I was going to say the remix.
Remix.
Just because it was produced by Will Smith.
In our last episode.
Shout out to our last episode. Can we do that?
What is this?
We're doing a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah. So what we decided to do is we wanted to check out and, you know, give us some thoughts and some opinion.
Well, personally, and I think Dennis did as well as Harry, we rewatched the original Karate Kid series. I was actually surprised. I forgot that there are actually 5 entries in the Karate Kid franchise. So we rewatched it, kind of see what held up, what doesn't, what made us cringe, what still holds up, and why The Karate Kid as a franchise holds up so well that, yeah, like, 20, 30 years after the original came out? 30 years, wow, yeah. 30 years after the original movie comes out, you know, YouTube has a huge hit on their hands. I mean, they've already been renewed for a second season, I believe.
Yep.
And, yeah, critical hit.
Fanboys like us are squealing in their,
right.
Yeah. Their pants.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we rewatched the old movies, like I said, and we're going to love to talk about it and see how it still holds up to this day.
So, Harold, let's start us off here.
We start with the original Karate Kid.
Classic.
Came out in 1984. I know in one of our previous episodes, Dennis had mentioned that the fighting scenes from the original Karate Kid, to this day, they kind of don't hold up. And I, like I said during the episode, I kind of back him on that because the action scenes are kind of lackluster, but that's really not why...
Well, let me correct that real quick.
Okay.
All the fighting scenes with Daniel LaRusso...
Okay, Daniel LaRusso fighting.
It's pretty
just
damn...
because, like we said, his fighting sense is...
Yeah, like the others, they were respectable. it was literally just a bunch of karate people fighting. You know, doing their karate thing.
Yeah.
But whenever Daniel LaRusso in there, yes, the quality of the fighting did kind of collapse.
It was a little subpar.
Yeah.
But, for me, the fighting has always been secondary to the storyline itself. The storyline, of course, if everyone remembers, is Daniel LaRusso and his mother move in from New Jersey to The 818, right here in, well, not here where we are, but they'd move into Reseda.
The rough neighborhood of Reseda.
Rough and tough. If you guys have never been to Reseda, then, you know, you'll never know how tough that Denny's is on the corner of White Oak. it's a rough place. But, so he comes in.
Shout out to Denny's.
Shout out to White Oak. But there's a...
It's a really good wood. It brings like a mesquite flavor.
Just a little bit. It has that little tang from the whiteness.
We're talking about wood, guys.
Yes, talking about wood. But so the storyline goes, he's a new kid in town, and he doesn't have any friends initially. So what he gets into is he tries to join the soccer team, or he likes to play around with soccer. Ends up falling kind of for Allie, played by everyone's favorite Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, you know, part of two great trilogies where she's in, or that and Back to the Future. But, you know, unfortunately for
only
him.
She's in two, right?
She's in two and three.
So, I like
that. She's only two of
the
three.
Two big Karate Kid ones? Well, she's only in the...
No, she's in two in the Back of the Future.
Back of the Future.
Yeah.
Two of the three
but
Back
she's
of
still
the Future.
In...
She's in two of the Backs of the Futures.
Yeah, she's
in... One Karate Kid.
And a flashback.
So in my head canon, she moved from
exactly.
Reseda.
Changed to Hill Valley.
Hill Valley. Exactly. That's what that's
and
my
stole head. Someone else's identity.
She went crazy because everybody was talking about the future. Yeah.
That's my head canon.
Yes. All right. So that's our fan fiction right there. But, you know, so the storyline goes, Allie, her ex-boyfriend, is, of course, Johnny Lawrence. Everybody's favorite 80s bad boy played by William Zabka. I still call him Billy Zabka. But
that's how close they are.
Yeah.
Y'all are buddies. Homies in Reseda.
I did dress as him for Halloween 3 times, so I mean, I guess
this
I'm...
last year.
Yeah, that costume.
Dude, costume idea. Would, I'll be Miyagi. He'll be Johnny and you'll be Daniel.
The skeleton guy?
And then, so, you know, from there, we go into the whole storyline where Johnny the Bully brings him and his buddies, and they don't like Daniel, so, you know, Daniel tries out for the soccer team, like I said, they end up sandbagging him, Bobby trips him, and then, you know, they get him kicked off the team before he's even on it, and then, you know, they consistently just keep on beating on him until he can't take it anymore, and he tries to do karate from a YMCA, or from a handbook that he learned from the YMCA. And, you know, Mr. Miyagi sees him, and, you know, he meets Mr. Miyagi, obviously, as the superintendent for his...
This is the longest...
This we're doing a recap, sorry.
No, we said two
sentences. Oh, sorry, two minutes. Okay, anyways, so bullies, no good bully.
No good.
No, this is the show about the young weakling that had to learn from the Japanese-American war veteran.
Yes.
And learn how to kick ass.
And fight.
There you go.
Okay, you said
awesome. thank you, Harold. That's why we call him the talent.
Because for some reason I went note for note on everything.
And the good thing, though, he didn't have his notes with him.
Yeah. You
know, it would have been a lot longer. Yeah. So, overall, I mean, the fact that we're talking about is that it's a really good movie. So what about The Karate Kid that we really liked? And as Lewis said, is there anything that doesn't hold up?
Okay.
Aside from the fighting.
Aside from the fighting. Like, what I still love about that movie were... I was actually pleasantly surprised when I did look this up. I totally forgot that Pat Morita was nominated for a Best Supporting Oscar for this role. And if you watch that one scene, if you've seen The Karate Kid, you know which scene it is, where Pat Morita breaks down in front of Daniel and he gives his exposition of why he is where he, or why he is
when
where
he exposes himself.
When he exposes himself to the kid from New Jersey.
He just transformed that movie into something.
After he waxes on and waxes off.
Now this is the RedTube version. So I was actually really pleasantly surprised. That scene still holds up very well. You know, Pat Morita is a great actor. So I think that's part of what makes this movie so classic is that it's just well acted. Like it could just be a cheesy 80s movie, but I think his acting really like holds up. So that's the part of that I think is one of the reasons why it's still a good, it's a classic, as I say.
And speaking of your acting, one of the things that I really loved was the connection between the two. And I think the relationship that Mr. Miyagi and Daniel from two strangers, and all right. of a sudden, it's not, you know, even though they call themselves friends, you know, it really is a father figure that Daniel yeah. never really had, and it's something that he was able to develop. And so, you know, forget the fighting, forget all the cool action, you know, the fact that you have that relationship between the two makes that movie an instant classic.
Yeah, in all honesty, my favorite parts of the movie is, because at the time I was taking karate when I was watching these movies.
So much out to YMCA karate.
Yeah, YMCA karate, North Valley. But it's funny to me just how the mentality that Johnny and his crew have, and then when, you know, Daniel goes to, like, you know, confront them for the first, or not confront them, but goes to just, you know, check it out, and to their dojo, and he sees, you know, the one time when him and Miyagi come in, and Johnny's already beaten up, and then yeah. they And it comes back into the TV show itself, where Johnny tells a different version.
Whoa!
We're gonna talk about that later.
No, I don't want you to ruin that part. That's something.
Okay, but Johnny does tell a different version of what exactly happened.
Why am I even in this podcast?
I don't know. We needed some place to record. That's our excuse for this guy.
Yeah. Dang. Shout out to my feature replacement. going back to Pat Morita, though, so this is the part that's still kind of cringeworthy for me in 2018, is that the caricature, basically. I mean, yes, he does play the elderly, you know, mentor, practically a Yoda figure, but it's kind of cringy for me to hear him try to, like, do that broken English shtick that stuck around and became the stereotype for Asian characters through the 80s and the 90s, because, to be honest, you can probably point back to his character or how he was portrayed as to how basically every other character from the, or, you know, every, you know, master sensei character would be played from that point on. So, I mean, it shows how good of an actor he was, but unfortunately, they kind of, yeah, I'm not a big fan of how it's still, like, broken English and all those kind of...
Is that the Asian American Studies?
Yeah, that was Asian American. That's my representation hashtag coming out on me right now.
Wait, hashtag coming out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so moving on. Next movie is, of course, The Karate Kid 2.
Karate Kid 2?
Karate Kid 2 is the one where Daniel... Why does Daniel always lose the girl, by the way?
That's kind of his deal.
I guess, yeah.
So, where he decides to go because he wants to support Mr. Miyagi in his time of sorrow, to go to Okinawa, back where the karate, you know, originally started, at least for the Miyagi-Do karate version. And once there, life unfolds, all of a sudden we see a different version of Mr. Miyagi, where it's not just old war veteran, but he's actually this estranged, I'm going to call it a husband and wife because they never got married, but a strange, like, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He had a whole life, and all of a sudden now he has to confront his life. So what about that movie? We all agree that Karate Kid is a classic. What did you think of the second movie?
I liked the second one a lot, mainly because it was... obviously because it's a sequel, but it's the first time that Daniel's using his karate outside of a tournament, you know, setting, and where he actually has to use, you know, it's real life for him. Like the final battle where he's, you know, about to face against Chosun, he's like, you know, Chosun tells him, you know, straight up.
How do you pronounce it?
I have no... Is it Chosun? Chosun. Yeah, I don't know.
Chosun
I'm trying to be like, you know...
Chosun!
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at the end he tells him, or Mr. Miyagi tells him, this isn't a tournament, you know, this is like, this is your real life, so...
Live or die, man!
Live or die!
Live or die!
And then he sees that, you know, the crane kick doesn't work in
right.
Because that was countered so bad.
Telegraphed it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, going back, I still can't believe that Johnny Lawrence... could
ran into
see
it.
The,
he ducked into that kick.
Exactly. Like there was no way. Like if he just like stayed there, that kick would have just like flew and nothing would.
Yeah,
happen.
If he did a Han Solo and just like moved to the left, it would have been like, oh, ducked it. But okay, going back to Karate Kid 2. I haven't actually seen this movie in a long while, so watching it again this last week, I was really surprised. Like, it still holds up, and it's a really good movie. It doesn't have the moments like the first Karate Kid does, like, you know, with the wax on, wax off, the training montage and whatnot. But
it has the that hook
Yeah, right. It did have that hook that almost killed Daniel, but it's just a really good story from beginning to end, in the sense that like there's you know, the rising action, there's a reason why they're there. I guess one of my only what kind of took me out of the movie sometimes is, though, like whenever they go into the village, there'd be so many like Americans, there'd be like white folks and black folks, and then, but I did like how they planted that earlier, because it kind of took me out, because I felt like, oh, they're recording this at like a studio in Burbank, so they could just get whatever extras they are. But they did kind of plant the seeds earlier, saying, oh, this town of his is now a U.S. base, so there's a bunch of soldiers here. That's why there's only like 5 Japanese Americans or Japanese actors in this scene. It's like, oh, okay, I'll let that slide. So, but otherwise, like, it's
really wearing his Asian American stuff. Yeah. Super. Like, I was like, dude, it's Okinawa. Like, of course there's U.S. bases there. Wait, if you want to take that stance, go for it.
This is the hill I'm going to die on.
Shout out to Professor Aquino.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I know you're listening. He is. Dennis, any other thoughts about Karate Kid?
The Deuce. Karate Kid, again, it was really good. Couple of great moments. The breaking scene is always great. The fact that if Johnny Lawrence is the prototypical 80s bad guys, Chosen is like the typical, and I know this sounds bad, but like what you see even after that, like the bad Asian guys. Like,
yeah.
You know, pretty much if you go to Fast and Furious, where one of the gangs there is that Asian dude, might as well have just been swapped Chosen. I'm surprised he's not Chosen right there. No, but it was the same attitude, same everything. The one thing I really loved there, and again, I was talking about the idea of relationships, but it was cool to see that Mr. Miyagi was the main focus of this movie. The fact that you have the relationship between him and Sato, where
his best
friend turned enemy because of a misunderstanding. The fact that they were able to deal with that and then be able to get past it was really cool. So at least for me, again, the relationships of it, which it seems like, at least for me, that's always been one great mainstay in the Karate Kid franchise.
Yeah, and shout out to Chosen too, because for inspiring his Scorpion getup, because I don't know if you've seen it lately, but he looks straight out of Mortal Kombat. So yeah,
I was gonna say, I just like the one of my favorite things is the way Mr. Miyagi saves Sato's life. It's still like my goal. If ever a giant log or wood falls on you guys, I want to be like, this is gonna give me 2 seconds. Let me karate chop this thing in half. And I got you.
I've always wondered though. You put that much pressure to.
Are you crushing his chest?
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, Sato is dead. You know?
No, because he uses the dim mach. We just don't. Oh wait, wrong series.
Sorry, that's another episode.
We all know that the dim mach needs to be a palm, and not a
knife.
With a ridge hand.
Exactly.
Ridge
hand.
Obviously, I don't take karate.
The one thing we were talking about how ridiculous, and yes, that's sacrilege. The crane kick is the fact that you know all of a sudden that every single person sees when they go to Chinatown, which I don't know why it's in Chinatown.
Yeah.
But it all of a sudden it becomes this that's why I was wondering why you said there was no wax on, wax off, because that last movie is it's just him, you know, kind of moving to the side, like I said, and then
now he's just swinging his arms left and right, like,
and then all of a sudden, Chosen, a great master, a black belt and everything, you know, he has been fighting for his life, you know, in the mean streets of Okinawa. All of a sudden, he can't figure out, wait a minute, if I try to punch him, he's going to block it and punch me back.
Here comes his left. I wonder where the rest comes. Oh my God.
I think it's because he got hit so hard on the first one that he was like, what was that? Where did that come from? Came for the right? Oh, that. Where's the stone go? Oh, came for the right. And then after the second one, it's like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do right now because I'm stuck in this eternal bliss of being punched.
He started just panicking.
It's just like,
he froze, man. He froze.
By the way, I've used that in a tournament once. It doesn't work. After they block the first one, I'm pretty sure they block the second one. So.
Either that, if it does, you fall, the
I think
does
I just did.
For that, then
they deserve to lose.
Yeah. It's like, sit down. You're done. The one cool thing for me, and Harold kind of talked about it, was you know, the fact that it was a death scene, but the fact that you had that final match with Chosen and Daniel, and it was actually not too bad.
Yeah, right. I was going to say the fighting actually got a lot better in the second one. Maybe they got a better choreographer or something, but yeah.
And the fight, the location where they were at, and that kind of death thing where there's like,
the death
oh no, there's 2 feet of water in between us and
get rid of the bridge.
I don't know. If we
can I was stop expecting them. That bridge to like fall, like push. Like, oh, you can.
And by the way, that bridge was still kind of floating around.
Yeah, it was totally.
So technically, he could have jumped on that bridge.
That everybody in that group could have just jumped on the bridge or
like
formed their own bridge.
It was like a lazy river.
He could have jumped it.
There were kids like wading in the water.
Miyagi could have like walked over it.
But anyway. He stepped on their heads and just got
or Sato could have. Which, by the way, Sato and Mr. Miyagi, if you I want them to like talk more because Miyagi!
You want to a grunt talk?
Miyagi! okay, sorry. So moving on. So we said number one was pretty damn good. Number two was a really good follow up. Now, of course, we have Karate Kid 3. Karate Kid starts off with Daniel LaRusso all of a sudden not having Kimiko again.
spoilers, he lost the girl
again.
Lost the girl
once more.
Okay. He's 0 for 2.
But now he is back home. He's trying to make a life for himself. And the opportunity to help out Mr. Miyagi, who all of a sudden losing his place, everything is gone, and they want to start their own store, but of course it's Karate Kid, so there needs to be some sort of
conflict.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Some sort of conflict. So here we have Daniel LaRusso all of a sudden dragged in to fight one more time to defend his championship. What did you guys think about the third one?
Again, I was pleasantly surprised because I was telling Harold on the chat, or telling you guys on the chat, I don't remember much about Karate Kid 3 when we decided on this topic. It was a blank space for me, so I decided to watch it. It is on Hulu, so if you're listening to this podcast, feel free to watch it and come back to us. But it is actually a really good iteration. Again, it's not like the quality doesn't dip. There are some the stories, again, solid, but it is pretty tried by now, a little, what do you call it, cliched at this point, you know. But it's still a really good flick with some classic 80s bad guys. You don't get just one bad guy. You don't get two. You get three. So you get, like, yeah. You get
the bad boy.
Mike Barnes.
You get Terry Silver. Yes. And then I can't believe we didn't mention it when we talked about Karate Kid 1, but
John Kreese.
John Kreese. Yeah. The return of John Kreese from Tahiti. But yeah, so what's his name? Terry Silver?
Yeah.
That bad guy is just amazingly 80s, if you guys get a chance to watch it. He has the slick back hair, ponytail, filthy rich, smokes cigars, and
just smirk on
his face. Yeah, we don't even know how he's rich.
You don't know how he's rich?
Plutonium stuff.
No, that's like nuclear waste.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Nuclear waste removal, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah,
get rid of nuclear waste anywhere.
I think that's
typical 80s bad guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like Lex Luthor, Nuclear Man, and this guy.
No,
and Captain Planet.
I was talking to Lewis that one of my favorite lines there is at the very beginning where Kreese is talking to Terry Silver, and Terry's like, hey, you know, is there anything else you want me to do? And Kreese goes, make his knuckles bleed. I like that.
I love, this is kind of it's like a back and forth for me. It's this for me was the first Karate Kid that they showed consistently on cable. So I was watching it like every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the difference of quality between 2 and 3.
Right, yeah.
Because like, 1 and 2, they're pretty much filmed kind of close to back-to-back. This one, it's pretty obvious Daniel has aged.
Yeah, he kind of, I shouldn't say anything.
Even though it still says under 18.
Yeah, under 18.
And he was only like a month after Okinawa, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's the same. It's like same weekend or something. I don't know. But it's like, the storyline, I think, is pretty, it's decent. I do like the whole trying to turn Daniel into a bad guy, but he has no idea that he's turning evil kind of deal. And then until he find, or, you know, until he realizes it's a little too late, and then they come back and, you know, saying, I'm going to make him bleed, and I'm going to torture him until he can't...
That was Kickboxer, bro.
Oh, sorry, wrong. That's my Lee, fool.
My Lee.
That's my Lee. But wasn't the funnest... The thing... Okay, this is my one negative. Not one negative, but technically in Karate Kid 3, Daniel gets the crap kicked out of him in the tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he... If Mike never took the points off for the...
For, he would have swept him.
Yeah. No doubt. What's kind of the lesson in that? It's like, wait until someone saves you by disqualifying themselves?
That's the lesson, kids.
Because, like, he doesn't realize it until it's sudden death, and he had no idea he was going into sudden death. So, I mean, minor grave.
No, by the way, hot take here. Karate Kid 3 is my Rocky 5.
Like, oh, it's
the one movie that I cringe to watch. And it's funny that you know, the first two movies I talked about the relationships and everything, but this time around, like, it was the first time where I could not understand where the relationship is. Like, why would Miyagi all of a sudden refuse to help him out?
Yeah,
you know, there just really is no you know, I know it's the whole he doesn't want to compete anymore. But the fact that Daniel is so insistent on it, the fact that he would let Daniel, like, you know, their relationship break apart just for that, did not make any sense to me. So for me, the conflict seemed contrived. It was like, you know, they were like, okay, we need to try to figure out a way to divide these two. What's the best way to do it? You know, make Miyagi really stubborn. The other thing that I really did like, I did not like, as Harold pointed out, is the final fight. Look, you have the crane kick. It's a kick to the face.
Yes.
Okay. You have the drum
punch.
The drum block punch.
Yeah. It's a punch to the face.
You know, it's
and you swing your hair around.
It's swinging around. All of a sudden, it's like, what did he do? He did a kata. And since Lewis never took karate, the kata is one of the most basic forms that you, so that you learn how to do, like, the basic movements.
Proper technique, yeah.
Unless the bad boy over here never took karate lessons, you know, he was never a white belt or a yellow belt or whatever belt it is, he would have known what a kata looks like, you know. And the fact that he saw Daniel doing that, and he's like, what's going on? I've never seen this shit. I mean, damn it.
You gotta beep yourself.
But yeah, and I'm like, oh, come on. And then, again, it was the very same thing where he's waiting there. You know, I've never been in a fight, but if I see somebody just waiting for me, one of the very last things I'm going to do is come in at him, because it is, like, the most obvious thing, baiting tool ever.
Yeah.
You know, so at least for me, out of the three, that was the weakest one for me.
Yeah. That's why I always laugh when, you know, Terry Silver goes, get the point, and he's literally in the middle of the kata, and, like, my head goes to all those times I used to fight, and I'm like, dude, if I ever saw anyone just starting the kata, I would just kick them right away. Dude. Like, as soon as their hands are, like, away from their, you know, protective body parts, I'd either sock them right in the chest or kick them right in the stomach.
Or the other thing is, don't go with a punch.
Yeah,
lead with the, you know, the your back. Why would you do that?
Like, you have all the time to prep, and the only thing you could throw, you know, the only thing you can think of is, let me throw the most basic karate move there is.
You're right. The one move,
the first
move
thing that they teach you,
anybody ever does.
It's like, hey, here's a punch. This is how you throw it. Here's the thing about the punch. Don't get caught.
So, you know, at least for me, and it seems like we're in agreement, 2 out of 3, really good. So the third one could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there was a little bit of hiatus, and they didn't know what was going to happen with the franchise, and they decided to bring in, to actually do one last one, the next Karate Kid. Of course, the next Karate Kid is starred by the famous actress...
Hilary Swank.
Very cute and very pretty, even though she's a teenager in that in that movie, so it's a little weird now that I said it. We'll just have to delete that part.
Nope. Okay, keep that part in.
Damn it. Okay.
That's what she said.
you know, so thoughts on that one?
Lewis, your thoughts on the next Karate Kid?
Utterly, I'm sorry, guys. This is my Rocky Five because I don't remember much about this. I remember like
no. Rocky Flint. Five, you choose to forget it.
Yeah, okay.
This one, it's like,
it's a thing that happened. I was on Hulu. I was like, oh, there is a next Karate Kid. I thought Harold was Josh and me. But yeah, I guess Pat Morita comes back. So it's kind of a weird thing to add to your legacy for such a classic actor, but yeah, I got nothing, guys. Sorry.
For me, the thing that makes me laugh, first of all, is the villain of the movie is one of my favorite villains of all time, Michael Ironside, who just looks like a villain,
yeah.
You know. No matter what he's
never
playing.
Trust him,
even
yeah.
Like in Starship Troopers where he's sort
a good
of
guy,
a big
yes.
Guy, it's like no, he's gonna turn on him somehow, right? But like
well, he's a bad good guy because he was killing everybody. In
Starship Troopers. Yeah, yeah. But, like, here he's just, you know, his usual Ironside self. But,
that should be an episode.
My best, yeah, okay.
Best Michael Ironside?
We'll call it the Ironside.
Yeah.
But, so what's... I kind of like this movie. I'm not going to lie. It's totally different. It's not really... It shouldn't be canon.
Okay.
But it is.
Again, like Rocky Five.
Yeah, but it's funny.
No. After Rocky Balboa, they forgot the whole...
That Tommy Gunn existed?
Yeah,
they retconned out Rocky Five.
His head.
Oh, yeah, he didn't have
his head.
Exactly. But for this one, it's kind of... It's fun because... You know, her training one is her babysitting and them shooting Nerf guns and throwing stuff at her. Like, that's a little more modern day for the way it is. And it's funny because, you know, Miyagi has to adjust to the fact that she is a girl. And, you know, he would always... The one that always makes you laugh is, like, he would always barge in on, like, Daniel-san, but the one time he does...
Yeah, it's like... Wow, I just did that. My bad. But that's the actual quote from that movie. Yeah.
But I mean,
Miyagi, sorry.
Do that. But like with the
sorry, in Asian American studies.
The whole fun thing about the next Karate Kid is that Hilary Swank actually learns how to like do, you know, she had previous training like we were telling before, where she jumped into the cat's dance on top of a car, so she has like experience, and then she
at least basic.
Basic knowledge of how to avoid cars. Apparently. But like her fighting was actually pretty good, and
is it pretty good because of her fighting, or because we're comparing it to Daniel
comparing
Russo?
Comparing it to Daniel Russo.
You know,
like she's a better student fighting wise, technically, and
better athlete.
Well, much better athlete. And her finishing move was way cooler than anything that Daniel did. Where it was like that praying mantis move where... But it's kind of the same thing with, like, you know, our gripe with all the other ones is she's literally in a praying position where a dude can just run up and punch her in the face. But he's like, nah, I'm going to kick her right where her hands are. So, you know, she can block it and then front kick me in the face. So technically she does a little longer version
a jumping
crane kick.
Which makes it harder, I guess.
Yeah.
I am a fan. Like, if I were to grade it, first one is number one, of course. Number two is second best. I would put Next Karate Kid over Karate Kid 3. And for me, you know, we use the word meta these days,
mm-hmm.
But that was the first time I could ever remember where a show, a sequel, was able to make fun of itself.
Oh, okay.
The fact that, you know, as he was talking about, like, you have Hilary Swank's character all of a sudden Miyagi's trying to train him, and he's training him the same exact way that he would do it with
Daniel.
And to terrible results. And at least for me, that was hilarious to see that it was almost like a wink and a nod. Hey, guess what? This is what we did, and we really can't do it because she's a girl.
Yeah.
You know. But the other thing I really like, as Harold pointed out, I agree. The action was really cool. The only thing I didn't like was the was I guess the romantic lead.
I thought you were gonna say the Falcon. Because for some reason there's a Falcon plays a major part of the movie. It's so weird.
So and again to continue the cycle of badly done accents. of course, we have to mention Asian American Studies person here, the monks.
The Tibetan monks?
I don't remember anything.
They went bowling.
Like I said.
And they used their, their Shaolin powers to bowl strikes. That should be the tagline,
by the
way.
Is this like a prequel to Shaolin Soccer?
Yeah.
I mean, they were there, the two.
They were there.
I'm pretty sure. But no, it was if you, I guess you forgot it, but there are these, like, they're in this monastery, and it's just these Japanese monks, and you're like, okay, what's, like, let's do this exercise real quick to make the racism continue here. Think of like movies and TV shows. If you're thinking of a Buddhist monk, what would a Buddhist monk, aside from being bald,
right?
Like, what are some of the characters or stereotypes that you're gonna?
They would be sitting in like a tree.
Like physical.
Oh, physical.
Like choose one. Like think of one.
Like they would be like Aang, I guess, from The Last Airbender.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
Skinny, bald, wearing yellow. Yellow and orange,
robes.
Thank you.
But then, just like Shaolin Soccer, as you pointed out, there's that skinny one. But what is the next stereotype?
There's always the fat one.
The fat
in the
one.
Kitchen, baking and cooking for everybody.
And
right?
Usually, like the one going.
I wish we had video.
this is that movie. And so if you take away the whole racism thing, which,
take it away.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's like the icing on this cake.
It's a very Asian frosting.
Yeah,
like you gotta say that this would have if this was the end of the series, it would have been a really inappropriate way for the series to end. But
thankfully, Jaden Smith.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh god!
Oh, all of a sudden Harold headache started here. And so yes, as Lois kind of pointed out, the series did not end.
It refuses to die,
just like Cobra Kai. the series didn't end, and they decided that we're not going to get Mr. Miyagi passed away at that point, right?
Yes,
and they decided to go a totally different way. And would you call it a reboot?
They call it a reboot.
Okay, so yeah, so they did a Karate Kid reboot, but instead of Karate Kid, it's Karate Kid, but with no karate anywhere. So they decided to take the same exact idea, same exact
same
story.
Formula.
New, right. One is from New Jersey, another one is from like
Detroit.
There you go. one goes to Reseda for some reason, and the other one goes to
China.
Beijing. Yes.
And it's the very same thing: boy meets girl, boy gets in trouble with the local bullies. Local bullies beat him up. He meets the strange. Old man that teaches him the ways of karate.
Old man abuses children by fighting them.
Exactly. And all of a sudden he learns how to fight and he wins. It pretty much the same story beats. Hell, Harold was talking about one of the cooler moments where Mr. Miyagi in the original movie is, doing the whole, he's crying because he's remembering his wife and his son and
right.
Everything. And they decided to take that whole thing and just transfer it to Mr. Miyagi's...
Jackie Chan.
Mr. Han.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Han. That's his name. So, yeah, and then all of a sudden, they take everything, all the story beats. It's like wax on, wax off. We need to have a moment like that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
put on the jacket.
Take it off.
Pick it up.
Flip it up. Put it down.
It sounds like you're talking about something else, by the way.
But again, it's like... the moments where in the original movie where Daniel realizes that all of the training that he's been doing, all of the work that he's been doing is actually training for karate, and the very same thing where all of that useless stuff turns out to be the basic of his kung fu. So what was your opinion on that one?
Like you said, it's a repeat, it's a rehash with a new sheen of new scenery and whatnot. The only I want to say probably one of the better things, I guess, is that this movie was not for us, for us in the sense that I think it's actually for our kids. Dennis here actually showed this Karate Kid to my son and he loved it. I, in turn, showed him the original Karate Kid, and he did not connect with it the same way he did with this one. I think it's a lot of the...
It's a generational thing.
Yeah, it's a generational thing. So, you know, I see what... I believe this movie was produced by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, so I see what they're trying to do, is trying to, like, perpetuate these memories and these great movies and these great franchises for the next generation. So I appreciate that. But, yeah, this movie was not for me, because, like Dennis has already said, it's a repeat. I've seen it already. It's good.
You know the one part that kind of irritates me, not irritating, but the most blatant copy part for me is the fact that in the semifinals they have the other guy injure.
Oh yeah.
Like, I was like, come on, man! Like, Bobby already did that. But okay, the thing that bothers me the most about this movie, and don't get me wrong, the action scenes are actually pretty good, and this is the only time that I've ever, you know, liked Jaden Smith in anything, but they use the title of the movie mockingly. It's called The Karate Kid only because they were making fun of the fact that he only knows a limited amount of karate. So they were calling him The Karate Kid in a mocking tone. And for a franchise that really carries the name The Karate Kid so strongly, to use that in a negative sense was kind of, you know, for as a fan of the, a big fan of the whole series, it's kind of demeaning to me. If you're going to, you know, copy beat for beat the movie and at the same time mock the title,
yeah,
don't call it The Karate Kid. I mean, when it first came out, I remember always having this discussion with Dennis where it's like, you know, he was the one that told me, oh, they're making fun of him calling him The Karate Kid. That's why it's called The Karate Kid. Why call it The Karate Kid, though?
Yeah.
Like, you could have done the whole thing. You know, I know the whole point of, like, a remake or a reboot is to get old fans interested into, you know, like a new property and whatnot. But at the same time, it didn't fit the style of the movie, and it didn't fit the movie at all. So why not call it The Kung Fu Kid or anything?
Literally anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I have to tell you, I like the movie.
No, it's not a bad movie.
You know, I wouldn't say I like it better, but... And I was one of the first people that, maybe it's my Asian American studies, you know, mojo going, but I was the one that was up in arms at that point. But, you know, if you take that, as Harold pointed out, if you take that into a different movie, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Mr. Han, Jackie Chan's character, was well acted.
Yes.
Jaden Smith was actually believable as, you know, the weakling. It was a little awkward that they were trying to get, Trey was like, 12 or something?
Trying to get him hooked up with some chicks,
like
a 14-year-old.
Yeah, so you know that, but it was cool for me. You know, somebody talking about the idea of relationships in the movie. I thought that they were able to really flesh out the Mr. Han and Trey's relationship, and it made it actually really, at least for me, believable and actually powerful. So I don't hate it. But I would say it's actually a good movie for me. I would actually put it as my number three. I would
So out of the five.
It's better than the next Karate Kid.
It would be number three. Although the next Karate Kids has Hilary Swank.
I mean,
but this one has Taraji P. Henson. I was totally surprised. It's like, oh, she was the mom.
Yeah, and I mean, the first time I remember watching it for the first time, like in my head, I was like, I'm automatically not gonna like this movie because of the name that it carries. Like Dennis said, if you strip that title away from it, if you take it and you name it something else, I probably would have enjoyed it more. But you know how I am. I'm very nostalgic, and the weight of the title carries a lot for me, and like, you know how people are. And so, yeah, action scenes were great.
Yeah.
I thought Michelle Yeoh was very fun in the movie, and having, you know, her and Jackie Chan is just... You know, he is a transcendent star on anything that he ever does.
Mm-hmm.
And when his name was attached to this the first time, I was like, okay, it's going to have some weight towards it. And his acting and his part in that movie is spectacular.
Yeah.
Take any other actor and put him in that position, the movie is not as good. Because the way he plays it dramatically and the way, you know, obviously he's able to carry his weight in the action scenes... But, you know, Jackie Chan makes that movie for me.
I agree. Like, I think it was a good heir to, you know, Pat Morita's throne. Like, he was a good mentor, because I think if you're gonna have a Karate Kid, you have to do that whole dynamic of the mentor and the student. And I think Jackie Chan was a great, like, yeah, it was a great choice. I mean, maybe short of Donnie Yen, because they're up in that age now where they could probably pull off the teacher role believably. But yeah, Jackie Chan was great in the action sequences, because nothing against Pat Morita, but I think Jackie Chan, knowing his background, like, it added, like what Harold said, it added weight to the action scenes, because you, part of me felt like, oh, he's actually doing that. It's not like some stunt double
from or a doing far anything distance. Like
that. Whoa, wait a minute. Are you saying Pat Morita didn't do those?
those amazing
didn't do any of the spinning moves.
Are you sure? Because
I don't know, man. I wasn't there.
Those kicks were so low to the knee that Johnny had to, like, kind of bend over in order for that kick to, like, hit him in the knee. So,
John Kreese is literally
say shenanigans.
I call shenanigans.
I call shenanigans, sir. Mr. Miyagi
did those moves.
He did.
Did his own stunts.
Exactly.
You heard it here first.
He even jumped off of that fence and went into the cat stands because that's how he knew it to teach the Hilary Swank. That's my fan fiction.
That's your headcanon. You heard it here first.
So we have five characters. We have five bad guys. We have John Kreese. We have Terry Silver. We have the
Chosen.
Chosen, and then I forgot the
yeah, I don't remember his name. I just know it's
the prototypical bad guy.
Yeah.
And then you, at the very end, you have the bad Chinese guy. The bad.
I think his name was Chang. Chang.
What's
Chang?
Chang was the kid's name, and
yeah,
I think the teacher's name was Lee, I think, or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Excuse you. I majored in humanities. I can say this.
And then they brought in the Filipino character. His name was Aguinaldo.
And he freed them all.
So out of all those characters, who ranks the best bad guy?
John Kreese.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Johnny was just like so... Actually, you know what? I think I'm biased because I saw the YouTube series. So I think without the YouTube series, I will go with Kreese because he goes from the first and the third movie. So that's much of how much of a jerk he was. Because
even at the end of Karate Kid 1, Johnny presents him with a trophy.
Right, yeah.
Where he actually learned his... I mean, even like Bobby from the original Karate Kid, he's remorseful about what he does to Daniel. Like at the end, after, you know, they eventually all lose to him, but then they learn to respect him. They're the ones carrying him out at the end of the movie.
Right.
But in the beginning of Karate Kid Part 2, who's choking Johnny up?
Yeah.
John Kreese,
right.
So,
okay.
I mean, he has nothing redeemable about him in any of the three movies that he shows.
Yeah, and he laughs maniacally in Part 3. It's hilarious. That's all he does.
The fact that he jumps out of his own
cardboard cutout.
I would have been freaked
and
out.
And the way he does it, though, where he's just like, creeping. I know you guys can't see the way I just creep right now, but like that's...
The only thing John Kreese didn't do is, ha-ha!
And, like, chop him in the neck.
I don't know. Like I agree. John Kreese is the best one, but Terry Silver really. We kind of mentioned it, but he just like is there, like close second, neck and neck.
Yeah.
Just because he was the a-hole that you know all of us wanted to.
The Quicksilver techniques, dude. I still use those. Man can't stand, he can't fight.
If you can't breathe, you can't fight.
Man can't see, you can't fight. Man, he's right.
You have a lot of sense. Did you rub your chin? He has a point.
Okay. So that is it for another episode. You know, had really a lot of fun talking about Karate Kid. You know, stay tuned. Next couple of episodes, we are gonna go and talk about the newest saga edition of Karate Kid, and stay tuned for that, and we're going to be sharing our thoughts and our ideas. But for now, that's it for us.
Podcast. We made a podcast.
please visit www.2fanboys1casual.com.
And on Facebook, we are Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Follow us for all of our postings. We'll post our podcast there if you're not already listening to it there.
And on Instagram and Twitter, we are Two Fanboys, One Casual. On those accounts, we are giving away... give away gifts and prizes every couple of weeks. So, yeah, so make sure you follow us there so you can get some free swag.
Awesome. So that's it for now. We are now waxing off.
Waxing off here in the man cave.
Yeah.
Why don't we close the door first?
Well, we are going to be doing the walks the floor later.
Walks the floor?
Walks the floor.
Walks the floor.
There's Aguinaldo.
So that's it for us. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
See you later.
You're the best.